Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
On this week's episode of Bropostles, help, my therapist just joined my young adult group. What do I do? What does it mean to say God's not your wingman? And what do I do if my girlfriend just told me she believes abortion is okay in certain circumstances? All this and more on this week's episode of Bropostles.
Welcome to Bropostles, a comedy podcast for Catholics who take their faith seriously but not themselves. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Patrick, and I'm glad that you're here with us. Ethan, how are you this fine September Eve? It's almost our nine-year anniversary.
Yes, on 9/11.
I didn't get you anything.
That's fine. We'll do a big party for our 10-year anniversary.
We gotta get together, because God knows we're not getting together at conferences anytime soon.
No. Focus has seen my recent tweets, and they have decided to
you
not
came
invite
for the, you came
back.
For the king. You came for the king. King Carlo? Yeah.
Dude, God bless Carlo Acutis, and I ask him to pray for me and intercede for me. But I just like Pier Giorgio more. Is that put me in jail. Genuinely.
I also think, like I said in my substack.com/CatholicPat, that it's just he's had more time. Like, he's been around longer.
He's cooked.
And so, like, people know him. And his stories have come out, but yeah. This journalist went around to like Carlo, people who knew Carlo when he was in high school, and they're like, mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know he was Catholic. And it's like, okay, he didn't talk to the right people. That's fine.
Right.
You know, but it's like, you know, what's probably going to happen is this kid who knew him like in first grade, is going to see on the news like, oh my gosh, that's Carlo from first grade. Oh, well, yeah. Hey, that kid was like crazy.
We had a Roblox server together back in the day.
didn't exist yet. But it'll say something like, yeah, that kid like didn't eat lunch for 3 months one time, and it was super weird. You know, stuff like that will come out, and it'll be like, yeah. Oh, wow, this kid was really heroic. Because like he has two posthumous miracles. Like he's a saint, obviously. But, you know, in terms of like, he's being treated like a mascot. For young
Catholics. Certain type of millennial Catholic that doesn't know how to grow up.
And I don't think that the term the first millennial saint is very compelling to people who are teenagers now, because
yeah.
Their mom is a millennial. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The church will be calling young people millennials for the next millennia, I think. Mm-hmm. That's going to be what it is.
Yeah. Isn't it cool that he's a millennial? No. Don't all of you people know that millennials are universally, I think they've surpassed boomers in terms of the generation.
I think that's only true because boomers are really old now, and it's, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really get mad at someone who's 82, you know?
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
It's like, oh, you got bought a house when it was $12, and he's just like, you want a piece of pie?
You're like, oh, okay,
and it's like, all right, I'll have some pie with you, you know. But for a millennial, it's like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, hey, do you wanna read Harry Potter? and then you have to throw them off a bridge.
I feel bad because we told them please read another book, and the other book was Handmaid's Tale, and I regret telling them to only read one other.
Yeah,
they should have read
the devil,
a,
you
should
know.
Have been like, you should have been like, at least read another book, because I'm never going to read Handmaid's Tale. At least if it's only Harry Potter references, I can be like, oh, remember when Dobby
mm-hmm.
snapped the cake? Yeah. I'm never going to read Handmaid's Tale. I'm sorry.
Have you seen the clip of Sketch doing the costume contest and Dobby's winning? Do you know
no.
what I'm talking about? All right, we'll watch it in the bonus podcast. For Patreon, we are doing this is September sweepstakes. So if you join Patreon for $10 a month in the month of September, or text the podcast to 10 of your friends and email the proof screenshots to info@broapostles.com, you get entered to win $100. So we'll send you $100 free of charge except for the price of entry or the free way that you enter into the
purchase not necessary to
purchase
win.
Not necessary to win, because you can just send the podcast to 10 of your friends and send us proof. Or you can do what I think 5 other people have already done since last week and join the Patreon at $10 a month. And I just want to shout out real quick by name, Chris O'Hara, who's from Canada, Maria, Adrian, Matthew, and I think that's everybody who's joined. So 4 people. So thank you for joining, and you'll get a shout out.
We should shout out the guy who donated, who sponsored us at $100 a month.
Dude, yes, because his wife, him and his wife, they looked us up on ChatGPT.
One of the first things they did as a married couple was listen to our podcast.
They get in the car, it says get married, there's cans dangling behind the car, and she's like pulling on a Catholic podcast.
All these cans put me in the mood for a comedy podcast.
What if let's put off consummating our marriage for just a minute, and let's let's use AI to look up a comedy Catholic podcast. And they looked us up, and we were so funny that they went their whole honeymoon without consummating, because they were just like, you want to do another one? Yeah, let's do another one. And they just kept listening, and they kept listening, and they're still, in fact, at this moment, they're still waiting.
It's because they're just so busy listening to our podcast.
They just love it so much. This is great. So thank you for the support. I want to answer some questions, Patrick.
Okay. Yes. First is from DeJimmer. DeJimmer, he just asked a quick question, which I think we should go over. Can you remind me what the concept of God is not your wingman is? Since it's a 9-year anniversary, we should bring back our first episode.
Yeah, that episode is bad. Have you listened to it lately?
No, of course not. I don't think I've ever listened to it.
It's still up on SoundCloud. I listened to it probably 10 times the week it came out, because I was so pleased with what we had done.
You were so excited, and now looking back, you're like, oh, geez.
It was some of the worst podcasting I've ever heard in my entire life.
Was I good at least? Was I funny?
No. Dang. No, we were
It was the first conversation we had ever had.
I know, that's why I'm saying it was really bad.
Yeah. Imagine you, this for those of you who are not longtime fans of the show, Ethan and I did not know each other when we started this podcast. We were complete strangers. So imagine you just find a random guy at a coffee shop that you know exactly 2 things about. One, he's Catholic. Yep. 2, he has Twitter. And you're like, let's have a 30-minute conversation about Catholic dating. That's the first episode of our podcast.
Yeah, it was
Fortunately,
bad.
We're naturals, and it was 10 out of 10.
No, it was not. No, don't go back and listen, folks, because it's rough. Anyway, the whole point of that podcast was critiquing some of the same attitudes that we still see today, which is people praying to God to achieve a certain outcome rather than praying to God. Well, I mean, you can pray to ask for things. There's nothing wrong with that. But people would treat these members of the opposite sex as like prizes to be won, and they would recruit God, and they still do this. They recruit God to be like, all right, if I pray in the right way and if I say the right things, now God is kind of like on my team, and I certainly will be able to secure this woman or secure this man because I've said the right words in the right order, and now God is like on my side. He's my wingman to date this person, which is like, God is there to help you, and he loves you, and he cares about you, but there's no like incantation you can say to get God's support to win your campaign.
This reminds me of a bit that I'm afraid is from like a Family Guy thing or like American Dad or something, but it's like the concept is a TV show. It's a detective buddy, detective drama where one of the detectives is God, and the cutaway gag is like, oh, this guy got killed, and God just goes, he did it. Like that's what we expect. God, we like want God on our team so that he just, you know, right. It's a good.
Like God is a detective.
We found this butt. He did it.
Dude, imagine Jesus walking around in Nazareth and he's just solving crime. Can you imagine?
That's what Nick Cage should have done instead of a Jesus horror movie. He should have done a Jesus noir detective film where like someone. Jesus is like an Encyclopedia Brown-esque character in Nazareth in the early first century. And he's like the curious case of who took the grapes, olives. You know, who stole the olives?
If the Chosen was brave, they would have had a bottle episode where they were stuck inside a building and Jesus had to like solve the case to get out.
They would have done an escape room.
Jesus is just like annoyed because he knows the solution to the puzzle, but like nobody's getting it.
No one's
getting
it.
Doesn't want to spoil it for everyone else. He's like, Matthew, the painting has nothing to do with it. Please step away from the... Matthew's like staring directly at the painting.
They did do a bottle episode in the first season where he's just kind of like talking to kids. The kids find him in the woods.
That's true. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so they did do a bottle episode in The Chosen, which I thought was just kind of conceptually funny. It's this show about God. And they do... Anyway, so God's
the
world Eye, your wingman,
the Chosen with the writing of the community would
of
be
community, yeah,
yes, there could really be something there. Anyway, Dallas Jenkins, hit us up.
we're just an endless treasure trove of ideas, but the God's Not Your Wingman is
a regular trove, I think.
Probably the standard trove.
Standard trove.
God's Not Your Wingman is just the idea that, you know, stop. If your prayer is constantly about help me woo this woman or man, or help me, you know, find a spouse, something's got to change. You know, it can't all be your prayer. This goes for discernment too, actually. Your prayer can't be all discernment all the time. You know, it can be that for a while, but like if it's all that's coming up in prayer, something has gone awry, or you're you know what, you're lacking something that will help you in the end, I think is the best way to phrase it.
Yeah, I think you can pray for 5 minutes at the beginning of your prayer time about the thing that's on your mind, the girl or guy that you really like, and then you should move on to like pray about scripture or read a spiritual book or some other type of thing.
Yeah, because eventually after you get married and you get older, it's like God's not your sales manager.
Yeah, right?
Like, you know, like God's not your boss.
God's not your stock portfolio advisor.
You know? Like the first 5 minutes of prayer is always me sitting down being like, I really want to close this sale. Yeah. I really, you know, it's like, it's very like,
I want 100 people to sign up for Patreon immediately. I want the number on the screen to get bigger, God.
Please. I want a reason to do the sweepstakes every month. And
I was thinking we could do the sweepstakes again in December, and it could be like a Christmas, and we can give away like special gifts, hand selected.
What I say is there's no reason not to do the sweepstakes every month if it works, because people can't just like re-enter. But patrons
they can re-enter.
Enter,
they can.
But
they
patrons
can share.
Yes, exactly. So it's a win-win. Yeah. And I think every month we'll have more people, and every month we'll be able to give back to our patrons. And maybe we can do a non, like maybe it's like not a Visa gift card. Maybe we do like a prize. Like it's a gift basket.
I have this roll of toilet paper that I'm using right now to blow my nose because of my allergies. I will give this away.
You know what's
free.
Cool? They actually sell boxes.
Yeah.
Of that material that you can just pull.
Yeah.
And it's like one at a time.
What are those called?
Tissue boxes. They sell boxes of tissue.
And what's this called? What's the generic name for this?
Toilet paper.
No. Try again.
Are you trying to bait me to say tissue paper? Because that's what you wrap presents with.
Wrong.
Toilet tissue?
This is called bath tissue. If you're erudite like me.
If you're
erudite. I only call it toilet paper because I'm crass on the podcast.
Yeah.
But in my normal life, I always call it bath. Hand me a square of bath tissue. Why don't you?
Please hand me a square. Yeah, you only use one at a time. Yikes.
I have a very small situation. Some have called it cute.
Have they? Let's move on from that.
yeah I mean he was my gym teacher in seventh grade.
let's move on from the thin brown line.
Hey, only patrons are gonna get that joke.
That was only on the patron episode. Dang it, you guys missed a really good joke on the Patreon episode last week.
All right,
okay, thanks to Jimmer for asking that question. I hope that you got what you're looking for. We have an update from Grace. So refresher, this is from Grace. Her boyfriend was working a ton and not making time for her, said it was temporary and didn't want to break up. the answer to two questions Ethan asked. Ethan asked, he's working like that until he moves into a cheaper apartment in September so he can save more money to buy a house next year. So the work, do you remember that conversation?
No.
So she was frustrated because her boyfriend was working all the time and he wasn't making time for her. And we asked if it was like a forever thing.
Yes.
And
okay.
So he said it was temporary until September. So it seems like it's over now.
So no reason to break up then.
Update. I broke up with him last week. Did you know that was coming?
Oh no. I saw the look in your face.
We had seen each other 4 times in the last 3 months, but kept up texting and calling. He acknowledged how much it sucked, but promised it would change and often talked about our future. Everyone says I made the right decision because he wasn't prioritizing me and would have found time if he wanted to. They all say if he cared, he would reach out or do some kind of grand gesture to make amends.
Yeah.
Because this is 16.
If he really cared, he would pop out of a giant cake that he has delivered to your house.
And he'd be wearing nothing but frosting.
Yeah, and he would be dressed like a baby, and he would sing a tune.
He would sing a song that has the word baby in it, like,
yes.
Like baby.
I love you, baby.
Yeah, he'd sing Frankie Valli.
I'm in a cake, I love you, baby.
That song is so
Step on a rake, I love you, baby.
Have you ever had that song play at a wedding?
Yes. Oh, that's a good time.
People go nuts for that song.
They like that. They like that. Yep.
My grandma's 90th birthday was a couple weeks ago, and she was like, I want you to play all music from when I was like in my 20s and 30s.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
My grandma was in her 20s and 30s, in the 40s and 50s. And so we just played, big band Rat Pack music, and it was real fun.
I think when you turn 90, instead of having a birthday every year, you should now have a birthday once a month. I think you should turn 91 the month after you turn 90. Jen.
Just to speed it up.
Yep.
Okay, he needs a grand gesture to make amends. Part of me agrees. The main reason I broke up with him was because he said working so much made him realize he couldn't provide for a family on his own at the financial level he desired without working like that all the time, and neither of us wanted it. So he believed that if we got married, he would need to keep working like that. We discussed me staying home and him providing pretty early on, so this change felt like it altered the foundation of our relationship. I'm willing to make financial sacrifices to stay home with my family, but he wants to be able to afford things without worrying about our budget. Now I'm having second thoughts. Yeah, I know, right? Wouldn't we all? Now I'm having second thoughts, wondering if the combination was just overwhelming, and once we get back to seeing each other regularly, we could have worked things out. There is so much unknown about our future finances, so I'm not sure if it was a valid reason to break up, or if everyone else is right, and I should have ended it because of subpar treatment alone. Please help. Can I say something that might make people upset? When people give you advice, it's usually flippant. There's a thing in sales where it's always easier to say no. The risk for someone, if you go to someone with advice and you say, hey, should I break up with this person or should I get back together with this person or should I stay broken up?
Yeah.
They will typically advise you towards the path of least resistance. And the easiest thing to do is stay exactly where you are. And they don't want to say, go get back together with them. And then it goes bananas and then they're in trouble.
And it's their fault. Yeah.
So you gotta take other people's advice with a grain of salt because they see you all the time and they don't want to tell you what's wrong. I see you never. So I don't care if my advice is bad. So you should trust it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
See the little flip there.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
I think this guy might be dumb.
What do you mean?
I don't understand. I want to be able to afford things without worrying about budget.
Well, I
understand where he's coming from, but I think, why didn't he just talk about it? Like, just because you say early on in the relationship, oh, it would be nice if I could stay home with the kids and then you could work. That's not necessarily gospel truth. Sometimes things wax and wane. Sometimes, like my wife picked up some work at the hospital. She works 2 shifts a month. It's nice. We make a little bit of extra money. She gets to do something she likes to do. But for 3 years, she didn't work. So you're telling me that something that it's not definitive forever?
Yeah.
What,
Phoebe nannied for our son's best friend. It was great. It was like the perfect situation. For a little bit, and then we stopped, and we still hang out, you know, and it's...
I think it's... I don't know. There's increasingly... It's increasingly less possible to have a one income household for the average person. It's certainly still possible, and I don't want to dissuade any young man who's hungry to try and go and make six figure plus salaries, because it's certainly out there. You can go and do it, and your family, your wife can stay home. But even if you are making $100,000 a year, if you live anywhere where the cost of living is like moderate to high,
like the state of Florida,
a lot of big cities, like the places where people live, that even then that's going to be difficult, right? So I think it's a little bit unrealistic to say, well, I want to make enough money to not worry about budget, because what does that mean? Does that mean you want to be able to pay your mortgage every month without worrying about it? Or does that mean you want to buy all the cars that you want without worrying about it? But like, what does that mean? I don't understand.
Yeah.
And also, why can't you work sometimes? Why is that so? Because even when you get married, there's going to be at least 9 months where you don't have any kids. So you're just going to be rocking at the house the whole time?
You're going to want to do something.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah. And also, I would also say, what if, okay, so man to man, have him listen to this episode.
Yeah.
So you want to be the sole provider.
So you think you can dance.
So you think you can make six figures. Great. I love it. I love the hustle. I love the energy. What are you doing to make it so that you have the skills that would make an employer want to pay you $100,000 a year?
He is working a lot.
Because you only have so many hours in a day, and you're making that trade where everyone makes that trade. Everyone makes the trade of here's what my hours go to. And so if you have higher skills, higher valued skills, what's he doing? Is he flipping burgers? Like if
I do think that is critical. What is he spending all his time working
on? Is he picking up extra shifts and like he's just a cashier? Like then yeah, you're going to keep spinning your wheels. You know, but if he's picking up extra shifts and he's like developing a skill.
Yeah.
I'm partial towards sales because it turns out I was good at it. But like there's other things like everybody needs an accountant. Everybody needs a bookie. What's he good at? Is he building skills that people will trade a lot of money for? That's what you have to think of. If you're the kind of guy who wants to be the guy who is the sole breadwinner, then you have to think in those terms. You know, that's just how it is. There is joy in being really good at something that people will pay a lot of money for, by the way. There is joy in having a valuable skill that people value. There's it, being good at something. Like, and it doesn't even have to be like white collar job stuff. If he's a technician, let's say he's doing HVAC tech stuff or he's painting. Painting is considered a low skilled trade. Okay. But as you get really good at it, there's higher skilled parts of painting. There's like more intense and more complicated ways to paint.
They graduate you from red to burgundy. You have to start being able to mix the more complex colors.
Yeah.
You know, they throw in, they're like, all right, you've seen blue. Now introducing periwinkle.
Wow. It's more like techniques and materials. Like you have to do stucco or something.
No, you know? And then they do, and then it's not just green, it's forest green. Ooh, scary.
Or ceiling. So like not ceilings like above you, like ceiling the house, the outside of the house. Anyway. Just like higher valued skills are what he needs. And so that's another thing that might help you consider, oh, this might be temporary. Like me working is temporary, him working so much is temporary. The other thing you can do is you can work for the first, you know, part of your marriage, waiting for kids. You know, they don't always come right away. Sometimes they do. So you got to be aware while he builds those skills, because it doesn't take a long time to build a skill that people will pay you a lot of money for. You know, if you really,
I mean, we've been doing this for 9 years and we are still,
we say we've been doing it for 9 years, but we've coasted for a lot of this, you know?
Yeah. There's if you look at the graph on the Patreon, it's like this, and then we start doing the bonus podcast. It just goes right up. Because as soon as we started doing something extra, people are like, oh yeah, we're not going to give you money for something.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know, they always say like think about your make stuff for your biggest fans, you know? Mm. And I was always thinking about like Camille and Ben You know, and like those guys would just support us if we did nothing on the Patreon. They just really love what we do.
I don't. I feel like Camille would be off that train.
You think
pretty
so?
Pretty soon.
No, we just yeah. We'd like the Patreon benefit would be we'd all be in a group text.
I don't know if Camille wants to be in a group text with us.
You don't think so?
No, she went to Israel with us. I think that's enough.
That's
for
enough.
Anyone. Yeah,
That's all that she needs.
Here's anyway. I think this. I get back together with this guy or don't. I mean, what's the question? Oh, is this a valid reason to break up? Here,
you're breaking up for reasons that are too far in advance.
Yes, you're anticipating problems.
Yes,
and breaking up over them instead of. Well, it was a problem that he wasn't spending time with you. The bigger problem to me is not so much the work, but the fact that he didn't communicate what he was afraid of to you.
Yes.
So if he's not willing to communicate about why he's working so much and work through the things about whether or not you're going to stay home or what he actually wants for his family. If he can't work through any of that, that's a reason to break up if he doesn't know how to communicate. But if he has communicated that and it seems like he's open to talking about it more, you know, the working thing to me is not a big...
No.
Sometimes you just got to work a lot. That's just part of it.
Sometimes you got to work a lot. And also, you know, maybe it's like you can talk to him like, hey, there's no way he's working 16-hour days every day. Like, he's probably doing something. You know, I don't know. I forgot. Maybe they live far away and they can't see each other.
Maybe he's a Twitch streamer. We didn't consider this.
We didn't consider he's maybe a Twitch streamer.
Maybe he's
well, again,
Kai,
Twitch
maybe
streamers.
She's
you only
Kai
have 8 hours. Maybe she's fine if that's the
yeah,
case.
You'll be good. All right. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. This one is from Crab Rangoon.
Can I talk about streamers for a second?
Sure.
iShow Speed has been going across the country, and the thing that drives me nuts is that people will post clips and it'll be like, iShow Speed accidentally ran into Tom Brady in Miami. And they do this acting thing where he's like, oh, it's Tom Brady. And Tom Brady's like, hey, what are you doing? Do you want to come in my house? And Speed's like, sure. And then he gets like a tour of Tom Brady's house, and the person who's putting the clip on X is like, iShow Speed accidentally meets and they do this for like iShow Speed accidentally sees real life Peter Griffin, and it's like real life Peter Griffin sitting in a coffee shop with real life Lois, and he's like all dressed up in the Peter Griffin outfit, and it's like, well, this is all obviously planned. Like, he's reached out to these people to have interesting moments for his stream, which is really smart to do as he goes across America. But like, he didn't accidentally run into Tom Brady. I need to be very clear about this.
I saw a clip of him taking a tour of the White House, and it was like the A plot met the B plot.
That's good. That was pretty funny.
Did
you imagine Speed meets Trump, and he's like, do you want to race?
And Trump beats him.
And Trump's like, he was very fast, black.
iShow Speed says like, hey, Trump, do you want to race? Trump goes, I don't see race.
That's that pretty funny? Good. I would like it if iShow Speed barked at Trump. So he was very odd. He barked at me like a dog. Anyway.
I think JD Vance would race Speed. All right.
I think JD Vance and iShow Speed could solve. That's a ticket I would vote for. I would forgive
whatever
the Peter Thiel funded Israeli government supported JD Vance campaign if iShow Speed was the vice presidential candidate.
Peter Thiel has funded the two only culturally relevant things the Catholic Church has produced in the last 10 years: JD Vance and Hallow.
I think you're forgetting about the Bro Apostles comedy advice podcast.
Yeah, that too. We are not funded by Peter Thiel, but I will take his money. I am a huge fan of what he did to Gawker.
I think Palantir is one of the greatest companies ever founded. I think it's good that the CIA has its own investment firm that it uses to fund companies that track citizens across the country and feeds them data so that they can do predictive policing. I think that's good, Peter Thiel, and I like you, and I'll take your money
and
now.
I will track all of our patrons across the country and
I don't
Canada.
Think there's anything suspicious about Palmer Luckey. I don't think there's anything suspicious about Casey Neistat becoming a spokesperson for Palmer Luckey's Game Boy company. There's nothing crazy. I'm being genuine. There's nothing crazy about this at all.
I don't know about any of this. I prefer to stay in the dark on this. All right.
Yeah.
Guys, I need advice on a weird situation. I got roped into helping start a young adult group at my parish with a few other people. One of them is my therapist.
Hello.
I did not find out about this until the meeting. I got put in a group chat with all of them. I'm technically not supposed to have my therapist's number. It's not illegal. It's just a gray area. So I know she's probably uncomfortable with it, and I am too. I had no idea she'd be there. I could quit, but then I have to explain why. This is the problem with living in a small town. What do I do?
What's the problem? The problem is that the therapist is in the small group.
Young adult groups have this issue with just kind of vague problems.
Yeah. Can you talk? Can you hold on? Could you try to talk? Hold on. Could you maybe try to call and talk? No. I was thinking that you could talk to the therapist. No. There's got to be a simple solution. You could talk to the therapist, I guess.
That's a good idea. Second, maybe secondary idea.
See what's up.
What if you talk to the therapist?
Oh, I like there that. It is. I like there that. This is good. You're smart, man.
Alternatively, you could make a separate group chat with everybody except the therapist, and then be like, "I heard."
Isn't she kind of weird?
Just
start bullying your therapist.
What's she gonna do? She can't tell anybody.
It's attorney-client privilege. She can't say a single word about you to the police. So you can do anything to this woman.
You can do whatever you want. She can't even fire you.
Did you see Sandy? Did you see Sandy eat that Ritz cracker off the ground? That was crazy, right? And everyone's like, "What?"
What you gotta do is you gotta just walk up to her in a group of people, and you just gotta silently rip one, and then be like, "Sandy,
you just toot in the small group."
Oh, it's disgusting.
Hey, everybody, let's call her Tootin' Sandy.
yeah.
Silent but deadly Sandy.
Let's call her. Man, I wish we picked a more fartable name than
no,
Sandy.
No, there's lots of. Hold on. Sandy.
Call her Sandy Cheeks. There it is. That's it. All right. No, you should just talk to your therapist. Also, I've been involved in. I'm a bit of a Peter Thiel of young adult groups. I've invested in a lot of startup young adult groups.
I've funneled a lot of Israeli money into Catholic young adult groups across the country.
And what I've noticed is a lot of them are one-shotted by vague problems that this situation might become a problem in the future, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And one of the simple answers is it's only a problem if you make it a problem. This person might feel awkward. And then if they do, you could just detach and be like, who cares? My wife called me a robot today, and I said, I'm not a robot, I'm a man. And I said it like that. Uh-huh. And she said that because of a problem in a young adult group. And I was like, because I realized a while ago that you can kind of just decide not to have a feeling. I know that's like a hot take.
Yes.
But you can just your psyche is like a river, and there's a lot of branches flowing down it, and all the branches are emotions, and you could choose to grab a branch out of the river and be like, this one's really important. This feeling of awkwardness with my therapist is really big. I'm looking right at it, but the therapist might not even that branch isn't even in her river. It's in a completely different forest, Or you could build a dam out of all of the sticks of awkwardness, and you're a beaver and you got this dam, and it ruins your whole psyche. It ruins your whole flow. Don't let that happen. Just be like, that's a really tiny stick. I'm just going to let it go away. That's a really big log, but we can move the log jam and move it and deal with it and let it go. It's caught on a rock, whatever.
Can I read you a quote from the effervescent Donald J. Trump?
Yeah, sure.
Somebody asked Donald Trump in 2004, how do you deal with stress? And I think this quote is pertinent. I try and tell myself it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. If you tell yourself it doesn't matter, like you do shows, you do this, you do that, and then you have earthquakes in India where 400,000 people get killed. Honestly, it doesn't matter. That's how I handle stress.
That's incredible. He's the only president who's not gray after a second term.
That's a good point. Dude, you know Joe was using product too. He was trying.
He was trying his best. Could you imagine if Joe Biden one day just came out and he's jet black hair, like Mike, like Father Mike Schmidt's jet black?
Dude.
He's got little flecks of black dye on his forehead. They should have done that. And they're like, look, Joe's in perfect health. He's never looked better.
I want him to have like Elvis hair. And it's like shiny. Yeah. And it kind of goes up.
It's very clearly a wig.
Yeah. I think you can just, I don't know, maybe this is a male-female thing, but I don't think it is.
I think it is a little bit.
A little bit it is. But I think women can learn to quit being like a woman so much and start to be more like a man.
No, that's not what I mean.
I'm just kidding.
No, this is part of the interplay of masculinity and femininity. We have stuff to teach each other. Most people will talk about how like women, you know, men need to be more sensitive and women need to teach men to be more sensitive. I think that's true to an extent. That women tend to be more emotional. They have emotional intelligence, you know? Like There's a really funny podcast where it's the two guys who do the a racist and a liberal agree on everything. You know those guys?
No? Shane Gillis and Matt McCusker?
No, they're similar though. But anyway, it's two comedians and they're both talking about how like emotionally intelligent women are. He's like, yeah, you know, my wife's really emotionally intelligent. Yeah. My wife is really intelligent. Emotionally, of course. And it's like, oh yeah, that is kind of an insult. Anyway, but it's like women have this account. They're in tune with people's emotions. But I think there's a masculine corollary to that where like men are really good at kind of sobriety and detachment and like not allowing an emotion to kind of overcome them. And then most men, so they, and that's a thing that women should be able to learn from men, and we can teach each other. We can teach each other these different ways of being human. We each have this unique experience of being human, and we should teach each other these things instead of constantly fighting about who's better, because we already know it's men.
It's men,
and we can just move
clearly. Clearly, it's men.
It's like clearly, but we are. So we don't have to keep fighting about it.
Yeah,
because men already won. We have all the podcasts. What are you going to do?
There's no competition between men and women. I think it's funny to say that men are better at sobriety, because I also feel like that's just demonstrably false across the board.
Sobriety in the general sense.
Yes.
Sobriety in the alcohol sense, you're 100% right. Not good at that part.
Yeah. Have you just tried to calm down? Have you tried to stop thinking about it? That seems to work when I say that to my wife. Typically she goes and like doesn't say anything to me for a while.
You're overreacting.
You're and overreacting.
The problem goes away.
The problem goes away if I tell her that you're overreacting.
Have you ever
just ignore it?
Yeah. You know, whenever you're having a problem with your wife and she's like telling you about something, you just say like, I really don't care about this. And then she'll just...
Dude, that works.
Never do that.
No,
I can't even imagine. I do have issues showing my wife that I care about the emotion. Like she's very concerned about how her friends feel about things, and it's a noble thing. Like she wants to make sure that everyone's at peace, and she wants to make sure that people's feelings aren't hurt. And I think this is common among the women folk. It's a noble thing, but like. You know, from my experience over time, I've become less that way. And I think it's just because my experiences of being in the workforce, which is an experience that my wife doesn't have as extensively as I do, is like, you can't let, at a certain point, especially working at parishes, it's like, I can't let myself care that this coworker is mad at me.
Yeah.
I just can't let it affect my work.
Right.
You know, because I have a job to do and that's why I'm here. You know, and so like that attitude eventually bleeds into your home life, and you can't let it, because you gotta show your son that it is really a shame that his favorite train broke, even though you're gonna go buy him a new one. You know, like you gotta empathize, and you gotta, you know, these things that matter to other people have anyway.
The thing that I have a hard time with is sometimes I'll come home and my wife will be like, "All right, something bad happened today," and I'm like bracing myself. I'm like, okay. The car broke, or like one of her friends got hurt, or there's something wrong with her parents, or something wrong with my parents, or the boys got into a very serious fight or something. I'm like, okay, I'm ready. What's the problem? And she's like, they canceled our weekly coffee. We have to reschedule for Saturday instead of Thursday. And I'm like, oh,
thank goodness.
And then I'm like, oh, and then it seems like to her that I don't care. It's like, no, I absolutely do care. I just thought this was going to be
much worse. About all of those other things a lot more than this thing, which I think most people would.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, they're beautiful. We love, can't live with them, can't live without them. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I've always said that. All right, question for the pod. My sister a while back saw a guy at church she liked. She drove back that night for an event she knew he would be at. They talked and did not exchange numbers. She's been trying to find him again. My sister hasn't seen him at the church. Maybe he's going to another church. The mass time at the other church isn't good for her schedule. I keep telling her to find his text his Instagram. So she has him on Instagram.
They didn't exchange numbers?
They didn't exchange numbers, but she has his Instagram. But she told me she is waiting on God's time and isn't going to do anything. Should she send him a text or should she wait? Oh my gosh, easiest question. This is a layup. You should block him.
Yeah, just wait. If God really wanted this relationship to happen, then he would bring him back into your life. You should change nothing. You should do nothing. Actually, don't leave your house this week. Don't come to school tomorrow. No. Let's back it up. Yeah, I don't. If God really loved you and if God really cared about you, he would make it so that you didn't have to try to get anything, right? Because trying is hard and hard doesn't feel good. And God wants it so that we don't have to not feel good. So if you really believe, if you really have faith, stay home, order DoorDash. And if God really desires it, then he will be one of your DoorDash drivers. And if he's not, you just got to keep ordering. Gorditos, tacos, locos, Chipotle bowl.
Switch to Grubhub one night.
Switch to Grubhub. Switch it up. Maybe switch Platts, Uber Eats, Instacart. Who knows? Drizzly. I think that shut down.
We did get sponsored by Drizzly once, though.
That was cool. We got like $100 from that. That was awesome.
That was great.
Yeah. I instantly spent it on delivered alcohol.
You did? You took their ad money and spent it on their service?
Yeah, from the business account too.
Nice.
I've lost us thousands of dollars, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, by having alcohol delivered to my house.
I was going to say, I don't know if you have kids. You obviously don't because you're dating someone. But I make my son do things that I could do for him all the time. All the time. And it's not even because I don't want to do them myself. I would prefer that I do them because it would be so much easier.
Oh, it takes so much less time.
Oh my gosh. And so like if he carries the milk to the table, he's gonna spill the milk.
I've learned to break the cup.
I've learned oh, it's a plastic cup. Are you kidding me?
Peter demands a breakable cup. He wants to feel like he's living on the edge. And then if I give him a plastic cup, he throws a fit. So it's like, all right. I give him the cup and he kind of like walks like this and he's like, ooh. He's like, he's not trying to do it on purpose, but he's doing like a bit from a Mr. Bean movie.
My mom told me something that's like folksy mom wisdom. She's like, never give a kid more liquid than you're willing to clean up.
Hmm.
And I was like, that's sage advice, mom. I appreciate that. So like, I would prefer it if he wants to pour it, you know, he wants to pour the full gallon and it takes more time, but I love him and I want him to learn. I want him to experience the joys of independence and self-sufficiency and like being able to, it's an experience of power, right? You know, the power is like the latency between your will and the action, you know, the cause and the effect. And so like, I want him to experience having the power to get his own milk. You know, that's why I see, you know, some moms do like they have a snack shelf for the kids that they can reach. They can, when they're hungry, they can get up and they go get a snack, you know, and it's like you're risking a lot. They might get too many snacks. You know, they might leave the crackers in the couch. You know, you're risking a lot, but you're enabling them to do good things. And so that's what God does with us. He wants you to have power. He wants to give you power. He wants to let you do things. So you should text that guy. hey. No guy would hate to receive a hey message from a pretty girl that he likes.
Dude, guys, that's the only, you got to understand, the only reason some men get out of bed in the morning is the 1% chance that they'll open up the Instagram and they'll see the little red one in the corner and it's from a girl that they like. That is the fuel second to White Monster. That is the fuel that is keeping a good 35% of the male species going every single day.
That little red dot.
Mm-hmm.
That little red. That's why. Never mind.
Say it.
I just said red dot, so I was going to make a joke about Indians. That's why they put that there. Yeah, that's why they put that there, to remind themselves that they got to keep grinding for that red dot.
Yep. You don't know how much power you hold. If you could bottle up that potential energy between
bottle up the red dot.
If you could bottle up the red dot and sell it, man, I think you should tell your sister to DM this guy. I don't understand why this is even a question. This is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I don't even know why you're writing this question.
Yep.
I'm just kidding. All right, last question. Do you have time for one more?
Oh, I got time for one more.
All right, this one's kind of heavy.
Oh.
My girlfriend and I have slightly disagreed on abortion. Uh-oh. When we talk about it, it gets kind of tense. What always comes up when we talk about it is she doesn't understand why I would take this stance in the extreme circumstance. Okay. So she's doing the thing with the extreme circumstance.
Right. Rape and incest.
Yeah. If our theoretical future daughter was raped and got pregnant.
Yeah.
I would want her to have the baby. My girlfriend thinks that's cruel, that no girl should have to raise a kid. And again, this is a Seamus Freedom Tunes joke, but he's like, the pro-choice has always come up with this like crazy Rube Goldberg machine, you know, circumstance where someone's been, anyway, in that even she can't have an abortion. No, think it's cruel. No girl should have to raise a kid through pregnancy at a young age. So this is also a child. She's told me that she thinks it's disgusting that I think that way. And when I say if there were no extreme circumstances, but when I say if there were no extreme circumstances around the abortion or everything that's consensual, it would be wrong, right? She agrees there. So I don't know how to think about this. What do we disagree on? I believe that nothing should change based on the outside circumstances. If you value life, why does that change in bad conditions? It seems selfish. How do I go about talking about this with her and raising tensions? This might be a deal breaker.
Yeah, remember what we were saying earlier about how men and women have things to teach each other, and women, they need some more emotional sobriety. This is one of those times. You're trying to make a logical argument where it's like, if this is wrong, if this is murder here, and the only thing that changes are like the external circumstances to the murder, it's still murder. That's your argument, fundamentally. But she is so caught up in the external circumstances because they're tragic that she cannot see the logic in your argument. And so she's making an emotional argument, which are in fact very effective. That's why people use them all the time.
Oh yeah.
So she is convinced, and you're not going to convince her using logic, unfortunately.
No. So you kind of have to wait for her to come around on this one.
Yeah.
I would caution you against marrying someone who is okay with abortion in any circumstance.
Yeah.
Just a word of caution. That's all I'm going to say about that.
And extreme circumstances.
Because the thing about extreme circumstances, if you're okay with extreme circumstances, the definition of extreme circumstance could just change one day. And all of a sudden you're dealing with something that's legitimately tragic.
Yes.
And yeah. So,
because if that door is open a crack, it can be opened the whole way. All of a sudden, getting pregnant 6 months earlier than you were expecting
is an
extreme situation. It's an emergency. Yeah. It's funny to call them extreme situations. I'm thinking like skydiving.
Abortion is only okay if you are free climbing El Capitan. And then that's an extreme.
She's just like, so the most left-wing Red Bull fan.
It's only okay
if you're wingsuiting down the mountains of Chile.
If you're on a half pipe that's hanging between two hot air balloons
Yeah. Yeah. If you're currently actively in the middle of a Formula One race. Yeah, this is obviously silly, it's ridiculous, but she's not operating in the same way that you are. So you either have to not talk about it or talk about it so much that you break up.
Yeah.
So please don't marry this girl until she agrees with you.
This one's kind of important. This is not just like we agree on immigration reform. You know, that's not something you got to agree on. This could materially affect your family in an extreme way. So
what she's basically saying is like, if something bad enough happens to me, I will kill your child.
Yeah. Or my child.
Yeah. You know, God forbid she gets raped or anything, but it's like, I don't think she knows that's what she's saying. Cause it's not her. It's like this imaginary girl. It's like herself when she was younger, you know, that's who she's thinking about. She's just trying to protect that girl, which is noble. Yeah. It just is flawed ultimately. Man, that is a downer. Do we have anything fun? Can we wrap up on anything fun?
No, I just thought it was, I saw it and I was like, oh, I skipped it last week, but it was an important question.
Yeah. There's no comedy to be found.
No.
I think what we should do is
I thought we were going to have a fun time owning the libs, but then I was like, wait, no, this is serious.
If you want to hear us own the libs, we're going to talk about how they blew up that boat in the bonus podcast.
Oh, we are?
Okay. Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about, we'll talk more about Peter Thiel. What else were we talking about? What else has been going on? Gavin Newsom. We're going to talk about all that in the bonus podcast and more. Go to patreon.com/propulsals. I would like to thank the Freedom Group for sponsoring yet another month of this podcast. Go to thefreedomgroup.co if you're a man and you want some coaching to help you find freedom from your cravings that are keeping you from being the man that God has made you to be. Thank you to the Freedom Group for sponsoring this episode of Bropostles. We'll see you guys next time.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.